So we're on Daf Pei Beis Amid Beis, and we're up to Rabbi Lazar Omar. So let's see if we can find the place. It's I'm counting up from the end of the Amud on Pei Beis Amid Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up. So just to summarize, according to Rabbah, that's the shita that Rabbi Loz is about to reject, the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is about what we called Even Misama. But fundamentally, both Rabbi Akiva and even the Chachamim agree that we have a hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, and based on that Hekesh, we have a principle that Avodah Zarah is Mitame Bimasa. Masa means if somebody would carry this idol, then he would incur a full Tumah. So that's Rabbah. Now we start with Rabbi Eliezer. The Evan Misama Kuliamalo Pligi Delo Mitama. His opinion is that we have to insist, even in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference, on an equation between Avodah Zarah and Shrotzim, right? Because the Torah calls Avodah Zarah Sheketz, Shaketz to Shaktsenu. And in the context of that equation, there's no such thing in Avodah Zarah as Tumas Evan Misama. Just like in Shrotzim, there's no Tumas Evan Misama, so too in Avodah Zarah, there's no Tumas Evan Misama. That was universally accepted. Ki pligi, so what is the Machlokas? Machlokas is going to revolve around the Hekesh, the equation between Avodah Zarah and Nida. B'masa, Rabbi Akiva Sovra ki Nida ma Nida metame b'masa, af Avodah Zarah metame b'masa. So there's a unique Chiddush in Nida and in Zav or Zava, and we found it also in Nevela, and that is that there's something called Tumas Masa if you carry something that's Tomei, even if you don't have direct contact with it. And Rabbi Akiva is going to apply that to the case of Avodah Zarah. So if you're carrying an idol, then you incur Tumah. Rabbanan Savri Kisheretz. The Rabbanan are going to expand the equation between Avodah Zarah and Sheretz. Ma Sheretz lo metame b'masa, af Avodah Zarah ain't a metame b'masa, lo metame b'masa. So that now that we have an equation, according to the Rabbanan, between Sheretz and Avodah Zarah, that knocks off Tumas Masa. Rabbi Akiva l'may hilchasa iskesh l'sheretz. After all, Rabbi Akiva has the primary hekesh to Nida, from which he derives the conclusion that Avodah Zarah is metami b'masa. So what then was the purpose of the Torah's equating Avodah Zarah with Sheretz? Now, right here, the Rishonim will ask, well, we have a simple answer to that question, to tell you that it's not metam, that Avodah Zarah is not metami b'even masa. Because, if you recall, Nida was metami b'even masa. So if we only had the hekesh to Nida, we would have assumed that Avodah Zarah, like Nida, is metami b'even masa. But the Gemara wants to expand the scope of the hekesh to Shrotzim to the case of Misham Sheha, that although if you carry the idol itself, you incur Tumah. But if you carry one of the Mishamshim, one of those objects that are serving the idol, you know, they have, they clean up the idol, whatever objects they have, so that's called Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, that would not be included in the Hekesh to Nida. That's excluded under the Hekesh to Sheretz, and there's no Tumas Masa. Just like in Sheretz, there's no Tumas Masa, so too in Misham Shei Avodah Zarah, there's no Tumas Masa. For Rabbanan L'may Hilchasa Iskish L'Nida, after all, according to Rabbi Elazar, who is studying today, the Rabbanan hold there's no Tumas Masa if you carry Avodah Zarah. So what was the whole point in equating Avodah Zarah with Nida? And we had that in the pasuk in Yeshaya, if you remember yesterday. Is ma nida ena le'evarim, af avod zora ena le'evarim. Which means the following. That if you have a dismembered aver, a limb, then that's not metame in the unique tuma of masa that we spoke about in the case of nida. And likewise, in the case of the idol, if you carry the idol, but you don't carry the entire idol, you carry only segments of the body of the idol, that's called a varim, then you don't contract tumas masa. Now we're up to daf pei gimel amud aleph. Rabbi Akiva l'may hilchas ha'iskish l'nida. So why does Rabbi Akiva have a hekesh between avodah zarah to nida l'masa, as he said before? Then that's just an introduction to the Gemara's question. Is lukme lukshe l'nevela? The Torah could have accomplished this hekesh without having to have two hekeshim, you know, nida to the extreme l'chumra and then sheretz to drop it down a notch. Just simply, the Torah should have equated avodah zarah with nevela. And what's the deal with nevela? Nevela is metame v'tumas masa, that fulfills Rabbi Akiva's requirement in Avodah Zarah. It's not metame in Evan Misama, and that would have been good enough. Eino chinami. Yeah, but there's one thing that we wouldn't have derived from a hekesh to nevela, because nevela is metame even if you cut up the carcass of the animal. So you have a dead animal, died without shechita. Anyone who carries any of the evarim of that animal, even less than an aver perhaps, you know, it could be metame, even kadasha, you know, a small amount, is he incurs tumas masa. So that's called evarim. So therefore, elo manida ena levarim, af avodah zarah ena levarim. If we would have had only a hekesh between avodah zarah and nevela, we would have come to the mistaken conclusion that avodah zarah is metame even beivarim. You take off the arm of the idol and you carry it, your tummy. No. It's like nida. Nida is not metame levarim. Elohad the boy Rav Chama Bar Guria avodah zarah yeshno levarim o eino levarim. We're going to see later on that Rav Chama vacillated back and forth as to whether avodah zarah is included in tumas evarim like nevela. Is tifshalei meha? He should have derived his clear cut conclusion from this sugya of Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva. The bein le Rabbanan bein le Akiva ein le evarim. Right, because the Rabbanan have almost a complete equation between avodah zarah and sheretz, or for that matter, the halacha certainly teaches me that there's no tumas evarim. And now we're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, even Rabbi Akiva, who upgrades the status of avodah zarah to tumas masa like nida, but he agrees that it's not more chomer than nida, it doesn't have tumas evarim. So what was Rav Chama vacillating about? So the Gemara answers, Rav Chama bar Guria karaba masne uboy le'aliba de Rabbi Akiva. Eino chinami. If you all like Rabbi Loza that was studying today, there would never be a doubt in Rabbi Chama's mind. But if you all like Rabbi of yesterday, and Rabbi says that both Rabbi Loza, I'm sorry, scratch that, that both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva agree that there is tumas masa in avodah zarah like nida. So now we want to know, can we take from this equation between avodah zarah and nida, can we take not only the chumra of tumas masa, but even the kula that it's not metame levarim? And that was Rav Chama Bar Guria's question. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that there's no way of justifying Rav Chama's vacillation here if you're whole like Rav Losa. Meisvei. Now Gemara is going to go back to Rav and ask a kashma b'raisa on Rav avodah zarah kisheretz. Avodah Zarah is compared to a sheretz, which sounds like there's no tumas masa. Umishamshel kisheretz. Rabbi Akiva omer Avodah Zarah kenido. Umishamshel kisheretz. So it comes out that there's a clear-cut machlokas here in this brisa as to whether or not Avodah Zarah is metami b'masa. Bishleim el Rabbi Elazar nicha. Because Rabbi Elazar holds that this is gufa, the argument here between Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva. They're arguing about whether or not the hekesh to nida between Avodah Zarah and nida will generate a tumas masa. That's why this price opens up by saying Avodah Zarah kisheretz, reflecting the sheet of the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva, that there's no tumas masa in the case of Avodah Zarah. El Rabba Kasha, how is Rabba going to interpret this? Sorry, how is Rabba going to interpret this brisa? Because according to Rabba, everybody agrees, Kuliamalo Pligi, that there is Tumas Masa in the case of Avodah Zarah. And the Gemara says, Kasha, we cannot answer this question. Rabba says, wait a second. You're asking me a kash from the Braisa. Mi alima mi masnisin. I mean, I squared off with the Mishnah. You could have asked me the same kash from the Mishnah, but I reinterpreted the Mishnah. The Ketani, we have a Mishnah. And it says that Eitzav avonav aforav mitamim kisheretz. So you remember we had a wall that was common to both a Jew and a monastery. When that wall falls, so all the parts of the wall have the tomb of Sheretz. V'yukimna, and yet I interpreted that Mishnah, Micah Sheretz, d'lo metame b'yevin mesama, that the Avodah Zarah would be metame b'masa. So what's, and that makes it, that's the equation to Nida. So why did the Mishnah equate it to Sheretz? My kisheretz, the lo metami, be even misoma. It's just like a Sheretz doesn't have this unique category of tumah called even misoma, so too, in the case of Avodah Zarah, we don't have that unique category. So chinami, here too, when we get to the Braisa, we're going to say is the lo metami, the Evan Masama, that when the Bryce opens up with the words, quote, Avodah Zarah Kisheretz, it didn't mean to say that Avodah Zarah Kisheretz to cancel Tumas Masa. Everybody agrees that there's Tumas Masa in the case of Avodah Zarah. It was just excluding Tumas Evan Masama. And Rabbi Akiva would hold that by virtue of the Hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Nida, we should go one step further and even add Tumas Tumas Masa. I'm sorry, and even at Tumas Evan Misam. Meisve, another cash on Rabba, from a different brisa. Nachri, even Nachris, Avodah Zarah, Umisham Sheha. These three categories are all Hain, Velo, Hesetan. They are all included in Tumah, but they don't generate a tumah, which is called tumas heset, which means if somebody carries them, which is, right now the Gemara equates that with tumas masa. Rabbi Akiva Omer, hein veheseton. That even if you carry any of the above, including Avodah Zarah, then you incur tumas masa. And this could not make any sense according to Rabba, because Rabba says that even Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva agree that Avodah Zarah is metami tumas masa. Bishleim el Rabbi Elazar nicha. According to Rabbi Elazar, everything fits into place because Rabbi Elazar holds the machlokas between Rabbanon and Rabbi Akiva revolves around the issue of tumas masa in Avodah Zarah. El Rabba kasha. What's Rabba going to say about this brisa? Because here the brisa says that according to Tanakama, there's no tumas masa in the case of Avodah Zarah. Amulcha Rabba ulitaymech. I have a kasha that I want to ask you. And what is that? Nachri v'nachris nami hein velo asetan? Can you justify this brisa and tell me that in the case of a non-Jew, there's no tumas hesed? In other words, let's say you were driving a wagon, right? And you picked up a non-Jew, then you're carrying the non-Jew. You should be metame yourself because of hesed. And I'll prove it to you. Vatanya, we have a brisa. And the brisa darshins a pasuk in Vayikra Tesvav, Dabru El Bnei Yisrael, and that's the introduction to the parsha of Tumas Zav and Ziva. And it says, speak to the children of Israel and tell them that any person who has a Ziva is Tameh. And from this pasuk, the brisa derives, Bnei Yisrael mitam b'ziva, v'yein nachri mitam b'ziva. Aval gazra alem shiu kizavim l'chol divreyem. So even though on a doraisa level, a non-Jew is not included in Tumas Zav, but nevertheless the Rabbanim made gzera, and they extended Tumas Zav from Jews to non-Jews. And not only that, the brisa says that a non-Jew has the same identical status as a Zav, albeit on a Darabonin level. So if that be the case, then just like this Hesed, Tumas Hesed in the case of a Zav, so too there should be Tumas Hesed in the case of a Nochri v'Nochris. So in any event, we're going to have to reinterpret this Brisa. And now the Gemara offers two interpretations of the Brisa, one reflecting the Shita of Rabbah, and the other reflecting the Shita of Rabbi Elazar. Ella, but rather, Rabbi Mitaritz L'tameh, in the light of his shita, he's going to reinterpret this brisa. Nachri v'nachris, hein v'hesetan, v'even misama shalahem, that in the case of a nachri, or a nachris, ve'atmeim, and they generate a tuma of Evan Misama. Because again, this all makes sense in the light of the Gzera that we just mentioned, that the Rabbanon upgraded the status of a Nochri v'Nochris in terms of to the status of a Zav, right? Imposing the status of a Zav on a Nochri v'Nochris. Avodah Zarah, he veseta avalo even misama shalom. So this is the sheet of the Chachamim according to Rabbah, that although we have an equation between avodah zarah and nida, it doesn't go as far as even misama. So you only have tumas masa, and according to Rabbah, even the Chachamim Rabbi Akiva accepted tumas masa in avodah zarah, but it doesn't have tumas Evan Misama, according to the Chachamim, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Avodah Zarah Hu Veseit of Evan Misama Shalah, that once the Rabbanon classified Avodah Zarah as Tumah, so they went as far as equating Avodah Zarah with Nida, and that's going to generate even Tumas Evan Misama. Rabbi Lozov Mitaritz Latame, he'll interpret the Brisa according to his Shita. Nachri v'nachris hein v'aseitam v'yevim misama shalahem. So Nachri v'nachris were, as we said before, equated with a Zav, and they have all the same identical dinim as a Zav, which means that Mitame not only b'masa, but even v'yevim misama. But Avodah Zarah, he v'lo haseita. Now we have the machlokas between Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Lozor, about Tumas Maso and Avodah Zarah. And the Tanakhama says, Avodah Zarah is Metame. That means if, let's say, you touch the Avodah Zarah directly, But lo eseto, but not in the case where you carry the avodah zarah. There's no tumas masa according to Tanakama of Rabbi Lazar in the case of avodah zarah. That wasn't in the purview of the gzeirah derabbanan of tuma and avodah zarah. Rabbi Akiva omer avodah zarah hiva eseto. Rabbi Akiva went as far as saying that avodah zarah based on the hekesh tenidos mitame b'masa, with the exclusion of Evan Misama. That we're going to derive from the equation to Sheretz, that there's no Tumas Evan Misama. Maskif Lorav Ashi. Rashi says that this kash is according to everybody, both Rabba and Rabbi Lazar. One second. Where am I? Oh. Now, by way of introduction, Rav Ashi has a new interpretation of the word heset here in this price when it says hein veheseton. And heseton means not that the Torah is carrying the tumah, but rather he's talking about a case where an article carried by the Zav is rendered a Rishon Letuma. Okay, fine. And now we have the Heset of a Zav. So it's not what we said before, that the Zav is carrying something, but rather Heset. Now, in my understanding, although I couldn't find this anywhere, but Heset is like kinetic energy. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Like, let's say, for example, if you put two coins next to each other, touching each other, and you put your finger down, pressing down on one coin, on the left side, let's say, and then you shoot a coin that hits that coin, the coin on the right side is going to shoot off. That's called kinetic energy. Again, the first coin is not going to move from its spot because you're holding on to it. Or, for example, if you have weights, a scale, so if you put something on one side of the scale and it's heavier than that on the other side of the scale, then it causes that object to go up. It gives it an energy of movement because of the weight on one side. So again, it's not that the Zav was carrying something. But now Rav Ashi is having a new definition, expanded definition of Hesed, and a Zav, if he causes the movement of something else, that's also a way of generating Tumah. So where are we up to? Maskifla, Rav Ashi, my hen. This is a general challenge to both Rabba and Rabbi Loza. Why does it say in the Braisa, it says, let's just read the Bryce again. It says, where is it? Oh yeah. It says, Nochri v'nochris. I'm sorry, I lost the place for a second again. Where is it? Hain. Where is it here? What was the language of the Bryce again? Oh, there it is. Nachri v'nachris avod zor v'shamshel hein v'lo es seitan. Hein means they are tame, but they don't generate tumas heset. So why did the Braisa say hein are tame? Well, what does that mean? What do you mean mechadish to me? Hein are tame. Elo v'ravashi hochi komar. Nochri v'nochris, Bein hein sheisitu es acherim, ubein acherim sheisitu osam tmeim. Watch what happens here. According to Rav Ashi, there are two different categories of hesed here. Let's take the second case. Acherim hesitu osam. That means that the tar incurred tumah because masa, because he carried the zav. And in this context, the word hesed means whatever we always assumed it meant. It means masa. But look at the first category. Heim hesitu es acherim. What does that mean? They carried others. Right? It doesn't mean that they physically carried them, because if that be the case, that's tumas maga. So that's going to be this new category of tumas hesed, which Rav Ashi introduces here. Avodah Zorah sheisitu acherim tahorim. So in other words, there's only this new category of hesed in the case of Nachri v'Nachris, because Nachri v'Nachris are being equated midrabanan to Azav, and Azav has tumas hesed, and that's called heim hisitu es acherim. That's the hein, the extra word hein in the Brice. But that only applies to Nachri v'Nachris insofar as they have the status of Azav. But Avodah Zorah sheisitu acherim tahorim. So imagine if you put an idol on a scale, one side of the scale, and you have a tar on the other side of the scale, and the tar goes all the way up, he remains tar. Because he neither picked up the idol, which would be Tumas Hesed classic Masa, nor did the idol pick him up, although the idol did pick him up. But nevertheless, there's no Tumas Hesed of that unique category of Hesed with regard to anything other than a Zav. And Avodah Zorah is not equated, it's not upgraded to the status of a Zav. Acherim sheisitu osam tmeim. Others who carry, who pick up the Avodah Zorah, that incurs a chiyuv, a tumas masa. And mishamshel bein sheisitu acherim bein acherim sheisitu osam tahorim. Because in the case of mishamshel, we have an equation to sheretz, and there's no tumas hesed, even in the case of somebody who carried mishamshel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nachri v'Nachris ve'avodah zorah, bein hein sheisitu es acherim, bein acherim sheisitu osam, tmeim. So according to Rav Ashi, we're going to establish that even avodah zorah has the status of a zav, based on the equation to nida, and therefore the metame, even if he's sheisitu es acherim, whereas Mishamshel, Bein Sheisitu Achem, Bein Sheisitu Achem, Sheisitu Osam Tahorim. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Avodah Zorah, what are you talking about? An idol. An idol is an inanimate object. Bishleim Acherim, Sheisitu Osam, Mishkakas. I understand that others could have carried the idol and they incur a Tumas Masa. But he, Sheisita Sacher Mech Mishkachaslo, when was the last time you saw an idol carrying someone? An idol is inanimate. Omar Rabbi Bered Rav Yeva Kidisnan, based on a Mishnah Mesechta Zovim, Hazav Bekaf Maznaim, the Ochlin Umashkin Bekaf Shnia, Kora Hazav Tmeim. Koru Hain Tahorim. So the Mishnah in Zovin establishes that if the Zav weighs down food, which is on the other side of the scale, and now the food goes up, then that's enough for an energy for us to generate a Tumas Hesed. If on the other hand the food is heavier than the Zav, then the food remains tar. Because the food neither carried the Zav or came in contact with the Zav, and this is not Tumas Hesed. So we see clearly from this Brisa that a Zav will generate a Tumah of Hesed, and that applies whenever he lifts objects by his sheer weight. again, they're not above him, but they're on the side of him. And that's the unique Tum of Hesed, which is the subject of this Brisa. And it applies even to Nachri and Nachris. And according to Rabbi Akiva, even to Avodah Zarah. Keman Azla Ha Hadesanya, whose opinion is reflected in the following Brisa, Kol Hatumos Hamesitos Tahoros Chutz Mi'aseto Shalzav. In other words, the Torah was machadish this new category of Hesed, but only in the case of Zav. No other Metame has this kinetic energy tumor of Hesed. Shalomatzinu lo chaver b'chol haTorah kula. That this unique parsha of Hesed only appears in the Torah with regard to Azav. So if we had more time, we'd go through the entire parsha there of Hesed, of Zav, which is in Vayikra, Perek Tezvav. Okay. So the question is, Lema de lo Rabbi Akiva. According to Rav Ashi, this price is against Rabbi Akiva. Deikar Rabbi Akiva, Nami Avodah Zarah. We said that Rabbi Akiva upgrades the status of an idol to that of a Zav or a Nida, and now there's going to be a Tumas Hesed. You know, by the way, I'm just on the side. At the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm addressing myself to Kohanim, and even if you're not a Kohanim, you want to remain Torah so you can go into the Beis HaMikdash, or you want to eat Kodshim, B'mehera Yibaneh, then I would not go on a seesaw with my wife if she's a Nida. Because again, if you're heavier than your wife, it's okay. But if let's say at some point she gets heavier than you, and you're on the other side of the seesaw, then you contract Tumas Hesed, this unique kind of a Hesed. And you think to yourself, well, what's the problem of a seesaw? I mean, I'm not carrying her, I'm not touching her. Why do I incur Tumah? And I'm just mentioning that on the outside. I didn't see this anywhere, but that's what occurs to my mind. So Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rabbi Akiva, even though Rabbi Akiva equates the status of an idol to that of a Zav, Tano, we're going to interpret this Bryce as Zav V'chol D'domile, even though the Bryce only mentioned Zav, but really it means the category of Zav, and any other metame that was equated to a Zav, and in this case, an idol, an Avodah Zarah, according to Rabbi Akiva, was equated to a Zav. Okay. Boy, Rami Rav Chama Bar Guria, now we go back to the old Rami Bar Chui about Le'evarim, if you have a limb, Avodah Zarah, Yeshna Le'evarim, O Eino Le'evarim. In the context of an equation between Avodah Zarah and Nida, we know that Nida is not Matami Be'evarim. So the Gemara now has to really reinterpret Rami Bar Rav Chama, because if we hold that there's an equation, which according to Rabbah, for example, even the Rabbanan have the equation to Nida, then why not take not only the Chumras of Nida, let's take the Kula of Nida as well, and Nida is not Matami Le'varim. So Gemara sort of reinterprets Rav Chama. Now this is based on a general principle in Shas. The halacha assumes that if you dismember a part of something on a very temporary basis, then it's almost considered as it's still attached. I believe we discussed this before. We spoke about something called mita shel tarsiyim, which is a kind of a cot that you simply put one piece into the other without knocking nails in it. So there's no problem of meleches bona in that case. And here also, if anybody could just, you know, push in that leg into the idol, you know, back into its place, and you don't need a professional for that, then it's considered as if it's one, the original. And that's called kimanda mechuberes dummy, and therefore certainly that segment, you know, you'll see it in dolls, for example, right? You know, you have different parts of a doll sometimes that fit in. So anybody could put it back in. It's like a Lego set, you know. Kiti boilacha, when was the suffix of Rabbi Amma? That's only echadi ein hejot yocholach zira. I need a professional to put it back. And what's his suffix? My cave on the ein hejot yocholach zira. Kemand mitavra domi. We see it as a broken piece. And again, there's no question that an idol is not mitami beivarim, just like a nida is not mitami beivarim. Odilma holo machasra. It's not considered a detached part of the body because a professional could reattach it, so it's not permanent. And we can see it again as mechuberes. Ika deboy leila hakisa. Others have it in the other direction. If you need a professional in order to reattach it, that for sure is kemanda mitavri nami. It's definitely considered broken, and it's considered a varim, and it's not mitame. Kiti boilach, what was Rav Chama's suffik, was hecha de hejot yocholach zira. When a regular guy who's not a professional can put it back together. It should be on these. Should we say that kemanda mechaber domi odil ma hashtemia kashalfa visharia? Shall we say we consider it as if it's reattached, it's part of the idol, or do we say no, right now in its present state, it's detached, take it, we have no answer. Boy, Rav Achta, boy, bar Rav Ashi, bar Ami, avodazara pchusa mikizayis mahu. If you have a very small avodazara, imagine. You know, it's like lahavdil, women carry around, you know, little cosmetics in their pocketbook, you know what I'm saying? So in those days, the idol worshippers carried their own little getchka, their own little idol in their pocketbooks. And it's so small that it's smaller than an olive. Can that be mitame? Is maskiflor of Yosef? I don't understand what your suffix is, Rav Achta boy. Lamai. Ilemele inyani sura. If you're talking about a violation of Avodah Zarah, let's say you have an idol that's smaller than an olive size, and you worship it, chas v'shalom, right? Is lo yehele ki zvuv bal ekron. This is the famous idol of zvuv bal ekron, which is mentioned in Tanakh. I think it's in Sefer Shoftim. Zvuv is a fly. So imagine they had a little getchka, a little idol that was the size of a fly. And they put it into their pocketbook, and wherever they went, you know, they started worshipping it. So that's a well-known idol that's mentioned in Tanakh. And for sure, there would be a violation of the Isra Avodah Zarah. Desanya, we have a brisa, and the brisa quotes a pasuk in Shoftim, "Vayasimu lahem bal bris lelohim." Lelohim, I say deliberately in that way because it's a god, a deity, and they have something called a bal bris. And the brisa says, "What is that bal bris that's referred to in Sefer Shoftim?" Zezvuv bal ekron. That's the zvuv. The size of a fly that was worshipped in described in Malachim Beis, Perek Aleph, the idol's Zvuv. He says here, based on the Ramban, that the idol was crafted in the likeness of a fly. And it was smaller than an olive size. He has another pshat which I don't even want to mention. I can't even get the words out of my mouth. But anyway, very small. Melame shekol echav echad also dmus yiraso. Yiraso means they adhered, or they had the fear and the awe of this little dmus. And what was this little dmus? It looked like a fly. They put it in their pocketbook. The kevin shezochra. Every so often, they remembered what they had in the pocketbook. Motziyam itokiso. They took it out, and mechavko menashko, and they would kiss it and hug it. And the pasuk castigates the Jewish people because they too were somehow influenced by this avodah zarah. So anyway, no matter how small the avodah zarah, it's minuscule. It's less than an olive size. It's a full-fledged avodah zarah, and if you worship it, you're chayev for avodah zarah. So what then, by definition, by process of elimination, is the suffix here of Rav Achdevoy, Elinyan Tuma? He wanted to know, could such a small avodah zarah that's less than an olive size generate Tuma? And why would we think it's one way or the other? Came under Iskish Lesheretz. We had the Torah says Sheketz Tishaktenu, equating Avodah Zarah with a Sheretz. Is my Sheretz Ke Adasha, the minimum size of a Sheretz to generate too much Sheretz, is a lentil bean, which is even smaller than an olive. Is Afavodah Zarah Nami Ke Adasha? So this is a tiny geshka, and it's smaller than an olive size. It's the size of a lentil, and it could generate tumah because of the hekesh tisheretz. O dilma iskash lemes. We have a hekesh between avodah zarah and a mes, which is going to come up in the next braisa. Now, based on that equation, ma mes bekizayis, the smaller size of a corpse or the flesh of a corpse that would generate tumas ol, is a kizayis, is af avodah zarah bekizayis, and if it's smaller than a kizayis, like the size of a kedasha, then it would not generate tumah. Omar Rav Avya Vitema Rav Bar Ula Toshma. Let's prove this from a brisa. The Sanya Avodah Zarah Pchusa Mikazayis Ein Bo Tumah Kol Ikar. If the Avodah Zarah is smaller than a kezayis, then it doesn't have the equation to a mess, which we're about to learn, and therefore it doesn't generate tumah. Shenemar. And here we have a pasuk in Melachim. Vayashlech es afara Al kever b'nei ha'am, which literally translates, he threw its dust upon the graves of the people. So the graves of the people is a reference to the mess. And we're talking about the dust of Avodah Zarah. Ma mess b'kizayis, af Avodah Zarah b'kizayis. So the minimum size for a mess to generate tumor is kizayis, so to here we have to have for avodah zarah the minimum size of a kizayis. Now for rabbanon, lamai hilchasa iskish lesheretz the lo mitame bimasa. The question as to why the Torah had to equate, and this is all Rabbi Lazar now. Why did the Torah have to equate Avodah Zarah to a sheretz to teach you that just like a sheretz is not mitame b'masa but only b'maga, so to Avodah Zarah is l'nida? And why did the Torah equate Avodah Zarah to a nida according to the sheet of the Chachamim according to Rabbi Lazar? Di'ena le'evarim. So the Gemara asks l'mes delomet. Right. Now we have another hekesh between Avodah Zarah and Mes. Lemes delo mitame bichadasha, that a lentil size, which would be enough in Tumas Shratzim, is not going to be enough in Tumas Avodah Zarah because it's not enough in Mes. And Mes requires a minimum of a kizayis. So the Gemara says, Ema lechumra. In every single hekesh, we have three hekeshim, we take it lekula. Right? In the case of the Hekesh to Sheretz, we say, oh, it's not Metame v'masa. In the case of Nida, not Metame le'varim. In the case of Mes, it's not Metame v'chadasha, you need a kizayis. So the Gemara asks, Eima l'chumra. Why not say the following? The Baal Hilchos Akasha Rachmana l'Sheretz l'tamei v'kadasha. Maybe the equation to Sheretz was to tell you that even a kadasha's worth is enough to generate tumah. L'nida, the equation between Avodah Zarah and Nida should teach us L'tmuyah b'Evin Misama, the special Chumrah of Nida of Tumas Evin Misama. And Akash Rachmana L'mes L'tmuyah b'Oel. Wow, this would be wild, that if you end up in the same roof, under the same roof with an idol, you're going to contract Tumah by way of Tumas Mess, but there's no mess by way of Tumas Avodah Zarah Shehukash Lemess. And the Gemara now lets the cat out of the bag. This last line is something that really we had to know as an introduction to the whole sugi that we started yesterday already. Tumas Avodah Zarah Drabbanani. The whole enterprise of Tumas Avodah Zarah Drabbanan. On a Doraisa level, there's no reason why Avodah Zarah should generate Tumah. And the whole basis in Tanakh was a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi, which is only an asmachta for an Isur Drabbanan. And therefore, when you're dealing with a Tumah Drabbanan, is Kula V'chumra L'Kula Makshinan L'Chumra Lo Makshinan. If you have two possibilities in a Hekesh, whether the analogy should go in a more strict way or a more lenient way, when it's the Drabbanan, we're going to go in a more lenient way. And this, Rabbosai, leads us to the Mishnah of Sfina. And the question is whether a Sfina is included in Tumah. Because a Sfina is, in a sense, a movable object, but yet it doesn't really move on its own. It's in the sea. And it's really, in a sense, like Karka. Just like Karka doesn't have Kabbalah's Tumah, so too a Sfina does not have Kabbalah's Tumah. We'll just get a start on the Mishnah, maybe a little Gemara here. Minayin l'Sfina shi'tahora. In other words, we don't know whether a Sfina is subject, is Mekabel Tumah or not. And from a Pasuk that we're going about to learn now, which is in Mishlei of all places, we're going to learn about the status of a Sfina of a boat. And it's not Mekabel Tumah shenemar derech oniya b'lev yam. Literally translated, the path of the ship in the heart of the sea. And Shlomo Melech has four things that a person could not possibly know. One of them is the path of the ship in the sea, because there are no traces of the path of the sea. As soon as the ship passes through the water, there's any trace would vanish in the water. And the Gemara is going to try to analyze how a ship's freedom from Tumah is derived from this verse. So the Gemara says, Pshita Aniya B'Lev Yamhi. What is exactly this pasuk in Mishlei teaching me when it says that the ship is in the heart of the sea? I mean, that's really obvious. Hakamashbalon Kiyam, an equation between the Sfina and the Yam itself. Mayam Tohor Af Sfina Tohora. So a ship is not susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah, and possibly because the water is in the ground, and that anything that's attached to the ground, Mechubil Karka, is not Mekabel Tumah. And perhaps the halacha that a ship is not Mekabel Tumah was halacha l'Moshe mi-Sinai, transmitted orally to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har-Sinai. And it was the reasoning behind this law that Melech Shlomo was wondering about this verse. He couldn't fathom why ships, if let's say they meet the normal criterion for Tumah, for Kabbalah's Tumah, which the Gemara is going to go through, why would they be excluded from Tumah? And that was something that baffled the mind of Shlomo HaMelech. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Hananya Omer Nilmida Misak. He has another possible source to derive the same conclusion that a Sfina is not included in Kabbalah's Tumah, and that's based on the equation to Sak. And it says, Mas Sak Metaltil Mole Verekon, Afkol Metaltil Mole Verekon. So a sack, which is included explicitly in that which is Mekabel Tuma, is something that you can move it around. And even if you put objects on top of it, you could still move it around. However, Lafuke Sfino, the Eina Metaltel is Moli Vareko. Maybe you could move a ship when it's empty, if it's a small enough ship. But, says Hananya, you cannot carry it when it's laden with schara, with cargo. My Beinayu, is there any nafkemina here between the Rabbanon and our Mishnah and Hananya? Ika Beinayu, Sfina Shal Cheres. What if you had a ship that was made out of earthenware? And it cannot be compared to a sack. And Mandi Omar Aniya Belev Yam, Hanami Belev Yamu. I mean, whatever you'll describe about a ship in terms of its relationship to the Yam, to the sea, you can apply that as well to an earthenware ship. But Mandi Omar Sak, Hanach Dechsive Gabi Sak. If you take a look at all that is mentioned with regard to Sak, and the analogy to Sak, is it's always going to be Metaltelis Moli Varekom. So that if, let's say, for example, you had a small boat, let's say a Sfina Shel Cheres, and perhaps it could be Metaltel, or even if you have something that's not Metaltel, and in this first answer, the Gemara makes no difference what's the size of this Sfina. We're focused now on the material from which it's made, and we wanted to use the equation to Sak in order to exclude a boat, but we're going to exclude only those materials that from which you made this ship, you manufactured, that are similar to the utensils that are written in the Pasuk together with Sak. So, for example, if you had wood or cloth or hide, those kind of materials are equated to sak. And then we have the limitation of you need metaltelis moli varek. But in the case of cheres, which is not even included in this parasha, you don't have that equation, and therefore you don't have that requirement of metaltelis moli varek. And therefore there would be kabbalas tuma in the case of a ship that was made from earthenware. It would be subject to Tumah even if it's of great size. Then the Gemara gives another possibility, Inami Svina Sayardin, that's a small boat. Islamandi Omar Aniya Belev Yamu, this is also going through the sea, and therefore it's going to be excluded from Tumah. Hanami Aniya Belev Yami. But Lamandi Omar, according to Hananya, says that Metaltelis Moli Varekom. Ha, Nami Metaltelis Moli Varekom. This is a small boat, and you can carry it even when it's laden down with materials. Diomer Rab Chanina Barakavya. Mipnei Ma Amru Svina Sayardin Tmeya. Mipnei Shetanim Osa Biyabosha Maridin Osa Lamay. So a Svina Sayam of Yardin is actually Mekabel Tumah, because people load it with cargo, and they lower it into the sea. It's carried even while it's laden, and therefore it's included in the parasha of Kabbalas Tumah. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rav, Liolam al Yimna, Odom es Atzmi Beis HaMedrash, Afilu Shoa Achas, he should never be absent from the Beis HaMedrash, even for an hour, Sharei Kamash Shonim, Nishneis Mishneh Zuv Beis HaMedrash. There were many years that the Mishnah was studied in the Beis HaMedrash, on his Gala Taima, and nevertheless, until Rab Chananya came along, Rab Chanina ben Akavya, we never understood this Mishnah. Achibo, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, Pirsha, he's going to explain to us this Mishnah. So you never know when you might be missing something very, very important. Even when you're dying, if you can possibly learn Torah, connect yourself to Torah. Shenemar v'zos haTorah Adam ki yomus bi oel afilu b'shas misa tehei osek b'Torah. Omrei Shlokish, Ein Divrei Torah Miskayimim El B'Misha Memis Atzmo Aleh, somebody who kills himself over the Torah, he works very, very hard for the sake of Torah, and perhaps he does not indulge in any kind of physical pleasures. Shenemar, as it says, Zos HaTorah Odom Ki Yomus B'Oel. So this will take us to Omar Rava, which leads us to the next Omud, Pei Dalet Omud Aleph, and we'll stop here. Wish everyone a Chag Sameach and a good Shabbos. On Sunday, Mitzvah Shem, we'll be up to Pei Vav. See if you can fill in the two blot during the next 48 hours.